Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Thanks, Liam. Wow. Welcome. Good morning. Grab yourselves a seat if you're watching at home online. Good morning. I'm sure our friend Ian's watching. Jai's probably watching online. We've got a great community that follows City Coast online as well. But who thinks it's so much better being together in the house this morning? It's a whole lot of fun. The only downside is we don't get to do it in our undies. I mean that. You're not allowed to do this in your undies. Wow. Look, I hope you got your notepads and your pens this morning because today's message, you're going to want to write down some of these key points that I want to bring, starting with this first one. Have you got your pens ready? Men and women are different. It's something that occurred to me. I know it's profound, but it came to me. This understanding that there is something a little different between me and my wife. And at the risk of stepping into stereotypes, which I know can be a little dangerous, I do need to reveal to the congregation this morning that there are differences. Men and women walk differently. Joey will walk with grace and I kind of lumber like something out of a Canadian wilderness that people photograph and go, I saw him. They smell different. Any wives attest to that? They have conversations differently. Men communicate in a series of grunts and sounds where women tend to communicate in a little bit more of a complex way. I know with Pastor Joey, when we talk, she wants me to look at her, but I can't stare. She wants me to contribute to the conversation, but don't talk while I'm talking. Sometimes she will magically appear in a room and she's looking at me as if she wants me to answer a question and I didn't even know she had been in the room talking to me. Sometimes she brings me a conversation because she wants me to fix a problem. And sometimes it's just one of those FYI situations. She doesn't want me to contribute anything, just wanted me to know. And it's up to us men to figure out which is which. You don't want to get that wrong. There is a difference there. Men are a bit more simple. Would you agree? I think men are like dogs. As long as we've got something to eat, somewhere to sleep, we can run around after a ball, get our bellies rubbed at any time, we're simple. Women, a little bit more complicated. I'd suggest a bit more like a cat. She might appear like she wants her tummy rubbed. There might be every indication that a tummy rub is on the cards, but you go to rub her tummy and your arm gets clawed to shreds. It doesn't work like that, men. It's more complicated. If you want to rub your cat's tummy, you need to say romantic things to your cat throughout the day. You need to wash the dishes and clean the kitchen if you want to rub your cat's tummy. At night, you need to tuck your cat into bed with her favorite book and the bed lamp on while you go and put the kittens into bed. Then if you're lucky, you might get to rub your cat's tummy. I better pray before I get in trouble. Lord God, we thank you for an opportunity to come and hear from your word this morning. We pray that your spirit would come and bring revelation, that it would open our minds to the mysteries that you have to share with us this morning. We thank you that your word is true, and we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I might have been treading on some dangerous ground there, which is a coincidence because the ground is probably where I'm sleeping tonight. That's okay. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you know it was Pastor Joey's birthday, and you know that I was on the pursuit of the perfect gift. I was out there trying to capture that ultimate gift that I could present to her, and I would receive her good favors for the gift I had selected. Now, I know you've been waiting with bated breath to hear how I went with that search. I'll tell you, I bought her a very nice handbag. Pastor Joey, can you lift your handbag up in the air for me, please? Lift the handbag up. Can you lift Pastor Joey's handbag up in the air for me? Lift it up nice and high so everyone can see. Yep, lift it up. Lift it up nice and high. That is not the handbag I bought. I might have missed the mark a little. I don't know. Did I miss the mark? I'm not sure, but that's not the handbag I bought. But we had a great time celebrating Pastor Joey after last week's service. But what I discovered is I may not have captured exactly what Pastor Joey had wanted. I mean, the key is to figure out what she wants without asking her. But when that fails, maybe I should have asked her, what do you want? To figure out what the desire of her heart was. And this morning, that's what I want to talk to us. Not about handbag selection. I want to talk to us about the desires of our heart and the important role that they play in who we are and what we do as Christians. So my message this morning is called, what do you want? What do you want? What is the desire of your heart? And can I buy it for under 50 bucks? That's what I want to know. Philosopher Plato says human behavior flows from three main sources: desire, emotions, and knowledge. The very things we do, the very things we say, how we portray ourselves in our day-to-day can be dictated to by what the desires of our heart are. So knowing what those desires are, knowing how they are implicated in our lives is very important. We need to identify what they are, and we need to identify what impact those desires have on the way we live our life. So I want to create a space this morning. I want to give us an opportunity where we can pursue a line of consciousness where we're saying, what do I want and how does that impact my life? Jesus himself encourages us to be mindful of this. He knew very well that what we could desire, what we desired would impact the way that we walked it out there. It says in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy it and where thieves break in to steal it, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is something unified in what we value and who we are on the inside and how that impacts who we are and how we live. So it's important to identify what we're treasuring. What are we valuing? What are we putting at the top of our priority list? And is this a healthy thing for us to be pursuing, for us to be chasing, for us to be giving our energy and our time and our thought to? Jesus said, show me a man and the things that he pursues, and I can tell you what is exalted in his heart. I mean, we could pick any man's bank statement and look at where his wage goes, and we could probably figure out what some of the things he values. If his bank statement shows gym memberships, gym equipment, protein powder, tank tops, he probably values fitness and looking good. Or you've got Pastor Josh's bank statement. Either way, it could be one of the two. If you look at it and it's got makeup and jewelry and fine clothing and a fancy restaurant, he probably values his wife, or he just likes to look pretty and eat nice. We can have a look at how, not just how we expend our finances, but our energy, our time, our thought, the things that we give in our life, it can often dictate what we're valuing and what we're putting at the forefront in our hearts. Sometimes as Christians, we could go one of two ways. We can find ourselves so eager to pursue riches and power and popularity and possessions and a nice home, a great car, a six-figure salary. And before you know it, we've been so focused on these things, we look up and our shepherd is nowhere to be seen, and we've found ourselves bogged down in the miry clay, trapped, stuck, and crying out for help. Or we could be the other way, where we think pleasure in life is of the devil. Maybe we're not meant to enjoy life. Maybe I should be dressed in sackcloth and ashes. Maybe I should stay over here, woe is me, because heaven forbid I smile. But I want to tell you today that God created this incredible world for us to enjoy. He placed us in a garden and said, I've given you everything you need. I want you to go and enjoy it. I want you to fill it with kids and families, and I want them all to enjoy what I've created for you. God wants his kids to have nice things. He wants to see his kids happy. So this is a little too far that way. That is a little too far that way. But there is a godly way where we can dwell in the enjoyment of the things he's created us without compromising our godly character and conduct. So I want to have a look at a few things today, how we can manage that. Well, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to pause, we need to take a moment, and we need to ask three questions. So I want to look at those three questions this morning. Is that good? The first question is, do my desires lead me in the right direction? Do my desires lead me in the right direction? Have you ever seen that cartoon where the lady has cooked this perfect apple pie, nice crispy pastry and juicy apple filling, and she sits it on her windowsill, and all of a sudden this little cartoon character comes floating by, his feet off the ground, being led by his nose towards the scent of this apple pie? Sometimes it can be like that for us in our life. We can be so captivated by this desire, this worldly desire or this pursuit, that our grounding and our foundation is lifted from under us, and we're floating towards this thing, or that thing. And it's important when we address the desires of our heart is, can we pursue these while maintaining our foundation and our footing in what we believe is true and good? I mean, our desire mightn't necessarily be a bad desire, but the way we let it lead us is what we need to be conscious of. Imagine your desire is you no longer want to be alone. You're tired of being lonely. That's a fair desire to have in life, right? I don't want to be alone. But we can let this desire lead us in one or two ways. Does it lead us to the nightclub? Does it lead us to Tinder? Does it lead us to that lady in the office that pays you a little more attention than you might be getting at home at the moment? Does it lead you to a one-night stand? Does it lead you to getting your heart broken, to being used and to be left in a worse condition than you were when you started? Or can we let our desire of no longer being alone lead us to a relationship with a God who promises to never leave you or forsake you? Does that relationship lead you to a church where you can discover a family and a fellowship that will be there to support you and to encourage you? Will it lead you to a place of worship Sunday morning where you can lift your hands and worship this God that has filled your life? Does that lead you to a young girl that goes, oh, I like how he worships. He's got the perfect structure of hands raised and eyes closed. And that might lead you to lunch after church and to a Bible studies where you learn about the power of laying on of hands. No. But you can see that the same desire could lead us one of two ways. It could lead us to something positive, or it could lead us to something destructive. So it's important that we identify what that desire is, which direction we're being led, and how do we ensure we're being led in the right direction? Look at what Solomon says. He's got a couple of proverbs here. Same deal. Same desire, but two different outcomes. Proverbs 5, 3 to 6. For the lips of an immoral woman drip with honey. Sounds okay. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Nice. That's pretty smooth. But in the end, she's bitter as wormwood. Okay. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Okay, not so good. Her feet go down to death. Not an admirable trait. Her steps lay hold of hell. Okay, all right. I get the point. The honey lips and the smooth lips, not a good thing. So Solomon's saying here, like, look at an immoral woman. It might seem like it's filling what you desire. It might be exactly what you think you want, but you're going to end up in a place of destruction and hurt and death. And then it goes on and he illustrates a different example of where our desires could lead. Proverbs 31, 10 to 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far more than rubies. How much do rubies go for these days? Anyway, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack again. She does him good and not evil for all the days of his life. You see, when we find ourselves with a desire and we align ourselves with the right direction to pursue that desire, we can end up with two different outcomes. One is something that's going to be destructive to who you are, and one is going to uplift and encourage you for all the days of your life. This doesn't have to just apply to relationships. Any of the desires of our heart, if we're letting it lead us the wrong direction, it can still be destructive. And there's a positive way that we can pursue these things. Proverbs 3:5-6. This, I think I've given a wrong reference earlier, but Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will" what? "He will direct your path." Can we entrust God with our deepest heartfelt desires? The things that we want more than anything, the things that we are so desperate to have in our life, can we hand it over to him and trust him that he will provide it in his timing? Can we trust him that he will provide it when it is right and if it is right? Can we trust God with the things at the depth of our heart that we desire more than anything and trust that he is going to give you what is right for you? Can we do that? The second question I want to encourage you to ask after you ask, is it leading me in the right direction? Do my desires make me a better person? Is money evil? Is the pursuit of riches wrong? No, I don't believe so. It can be a dangerous pursuit, and it's one where you do need to ensure you're coming back and anchoring your heart in things of God. But money in itself and the pursuit of riches is not evil. The love of money and the love of riches is problematic. You want to weed that out as soon as you can. But that's why it's important to ask this question. Does my desire make me a better person? Is the pursuit of riches making you a generous person? Or is it making you a greedy person? Is your pursuit of finances keeping you in the office so long that your family have forgotten your name? Or is it giving you a wage that you can invest into your household and see your family thrive and flourish? Is your money being managed with honesty and integrity? Or are you cutting corners and stepping in some gray areas just to make an extra buck? So you can see how a pursuit and a desire here could shape who you are as a person depending on the way that you position your heart in this. Well, if you're not asking yourself, what kind of person is this making me? And not having that moment of reflection where you go, okay, I know I'm chasing money. I know initially my intention was to provide for my family, but now I find I'm so absorbed in the accumulation of wealth that I've forgotten the cause in which I first pursued it. So we've got to continually come back and ask ourselves, are my desires and the pursuit of my desires making me a better person? Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and he will love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't serve God and follow what he has for your life if instead you're serving and bowing your knee to money, to wealth, to riches, to possessions. You know, we've got to make a decision. Who am I serving? Pastor Mark Ramsey, who we served under for a number of years, used to say, "Money is an incredible servant, but a lousy master." When we put money to work for us, we can accomplish some incredible things in the kingdom of God. We can accomplish some incredible things through our family, through our community. But when money is driving us, it's a different matter. Money is dictating what we let go of and what we give. Money is dictating how long you spend in the office. Money is dictating who and how you behave. So you've got to make sure that you've positioned that desire in the right place on the priority list. It's got to be well below God. It's got to be well below your family. It's got to be well below what God has called you in a ministry capacity. It's an incredible servant, but a terrible master. The fact we sit here in this incredible complex this morning is the result of people that had wealth. And it was people who had a heart to say, "Hey, I want to plant some of this wealth. I want to lay some of this down and see something grown and developed and built for a future generation. And I'm thankful for those people who had pursued wealth in that way. But I'm also grateful that they continue to check in with God. What do you want me to do with this wealth that you've blessed me with? It's such an important thing that we continue to check. Are the desires I'm pursuing making me a better person? The same thinking can be applied to positions of leadership or popularity or education. Any of these pursuits, these desires that we chase after, they're all perfectly acceptable desires to pursue in life, but how do we let them shape us? Do we use leadership to get things done for us or so that we can serve others? Do we exploit our popularity to exalt ourselves or do we use it to uplift others? Do we advance in our education so we can make others better or so that we can say I'm better than others? They're all good desires, but how are we letting them shape who we are? And the best way to determine whether they're shaping us in a good way is to compare it to how God is calling us to live in this book. We can check this, we can read this, we can ingest every word from these pages and make sure that we're staying in alignment with that while we're in the pursuit of this. King Solomon was the richest king in history. He had this temple laden out with gold. He had we've got a nice shade of aniseed on the wall. He had it leafed with gold. I mean, he had some wealth, but because he was using it in a way to glorify and magnify God, God continued to bless him. He continued to give him wealth and power and authority in the land. So wealth in itself, power in itself, popularity in itself is not necessarily a bad pursuit. But we want to make sure that when we obtain it, are we using it for the purposes that God has called us to use them for? Does that sound all right? Happy birthday for yesterday, Pastor Ken. How incredible. When we first met Pastor Ken, he told us he was an 84-year-old, but he identified it as a 74-year-old. Fantastic man of God, and we've appreciated everything you've contributed into our life. And even before we arrived on the scene, what you contributed into this household and other ministries throughout Australia. You've left an incredible legacy, one of which was your incredible grandson up here this morning, bringing an incredible word during transition. Fantastic. Question number three, do my desires align with what God has for me? When I think about all the Bible stories and the Bible heroes I learn about in Sunday school, I can see a clear pattern develop between these men and these women. When they were aligned with God's call in their life, you saw breakthrough, you saw victory, you saw blessing, you saw prosperity come upon their lives. But when you see the same men and women steer away from the purposes and the plans that God has from their life, it goes in the opposite direction. You see, David, he stayed home when his army was out at war and he fell into adultery. Samson was meant to be fighting the Philistines. Instead, he married one of them and he ended up bald and blind. Nothing wrong with bald, blind. Jonah was called to share God's word in Nineveh and he ended up in fish vomit. Not a great idea, but you could see that when they do realign themselves with God's purpose, when they do get back on track with what God had called them from, he can redeem them, he can restore them, and he continues to use them from that point. Jonah still ended up in Nineveh. He just smelt slightly different. He still got to share God's word with the people of Nineveh. David got restored despite all sorts of hell breaking out through his family and through his reign. He still found himself falling back into a place where he's later identified as a man after God's own heart. Samson, on his knees, broken, blinded, beaten and abused, just said, God, I've messed up. Get me back on track. Let me do what you call me to do. And if you know this story, he asked to place his hands on the pillars of this temple where these people were worshipping false gods and idols and participating in all sorts of debauchery and goodness knows what. And with one last cry, he pushes on these pillars and sees that whole temple crumble down. He aligned himself back with God's purpose and accomplished what he was originally called to do. The pursuits and the things that he was desiring had led him off track, but when he realigned his heart to the desires of fulfilling what God had called them to do, they saw that restoration and they saw that victory that they could have had had they stayed on that path in the first place. When we let our fleshly desires distract us from God's plan, we rob ourselves of experiencing the fullness of what he has in store for us. So it's important that we position ourselves on a daily basis and say, what does my heart desire? What do I want? And these things that I want, how do they shape me? Do they make me a better person? These things that are burning in my heart, are they in line with what God has for my life, for what he has called me to? When we bring ourselves back to this place where we assess it and we address it and we consider it and we can set our lives in a way that we can pursue good things, that we can pursue things that make us a better person, that we can pursue things that keep us in line with what God has for us. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Jesus says this, red letters, therefore, do not worry about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. He goes, can I give you a red hot tip here? Sure, these things are important in your life, but when you're unraveling this priority list in your heart of the things you're going to pursue, God's saying, put me at the top. He says, seek me first. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of these other things are going to be taken care of. And God's a bit tricky in this, because he knows once we align our sights on him and our pursuits on him and we go after what he wants for our lives, the desires that we once worried about, stressed about, let torment us, they change. All of a sudden you don't care about the shoes you're wearing, the car you're driving, the girl you're dating, the job you're working. All of a sudden the things that are a passion and a pursuit of your heart is not what they once were. Because you've met a God that loves you. You've met a God that fulfills you. You've met a God that gives you purpose. And all of a sudden, this purpose is your drive. This purpose is what's seeing you get out of bed in the morning. You want to know what I want? I want a relationship with this loving God. I want my family to have a personal connection with Jesus Christ. I want the salvation and the eternity of those that I love secured in him. And then I want every individual in the city to have the same desire I do. That they will have a relationship with a loving God. That they want their family to have an intimate connection with Jesus Christ. That they want to see every person in this city have the same desires that they have. I want to see this reciprocation of this God pursuit flow out from this place and out into this city. Look, this hope that we've found, this salvation that we've obtained through saying, Jesus, come into my life, it's a too good a thing to keep to ourselves. We can sing about it and we can celebrate it every Sunday, but if we're not getting out there and sharing it with those that need it, we're missing the point. Our desire needs to be the same as God's desire. We want to be so in love with God that his very heart becomes an impression on our heart. That our heart beats in the same rhythm as his. Our heart breaks for the same things that break his. That we start looking at this city, that we start seeing at our lost loved ones, our lost neighbors, our lost co-workers, and go, oh, if only they had what I have. And get passionate about that. That that be our desire. These other desires that might be in our heart, he might still have you pursue those finances. Because he knows when those finances are submitted to godly purposes, it can change lives, it can change a community. He might want you to still pursue positions of leadership because he knows in that place of authority you can bring heavenly discernment into situations that influence the way that our city is run or our students or our schools are led. He might want us to still pursue this popularity because with that influence we can reach a broader range of people and share with them this good news that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave his life. He died on the cross. He spent days in a tomb before rising again and creating a way for us back to connect with the Father God who loves us and to obtain the gift of everlasting life. Tell me that's not a desire worth pursuing. That we would set our hearts, our eyes and our heart and our hearts, let's set our hearts twice on the pursuit of God to seek his kingdom and his righteousness this morning. Can I ask the creative team to join me up on stage? I just want to have a moment right now where I want to give you an opportunity to get aligned with what God wants for your life this morning. Can I just encourage everyone to close your eyes and just bow your heads? You know, this God relationship I've been talking about is one that's available for all of us. It's something that we can all obtain, and Jesus makes it very simple. It says in the Word that all we have to do is believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. Confess our sins and repent, and we will be saved. Very simple. And it's an incredible thing that we can do where we say, Jesus, come into my life. I want to be a Christian. And we can align our lives, and we can follow the path that he has for us. And I tell you right now, the path he has for us to pursue is a good path. It leads to everlasting life. And I want to make sure that everybody in this place this morning has made that decision for their lives. So while every eye is closed, nobody's looking around, I am, I'm looking, but that's because I want to see who we can pray with this morning. And if that's you, if you want to say, Jesus, I'm sick of pursuing the things I've been pursuing, and now I want to pursue you. I want to be a Christian. I want you to come into my heart, Jesus. Just pop your hand up in the air and I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you want Jesus to come into your heart this morning, I see that hand there. I see those two hands over to the side. I see those incredible little hands up the back, that hand there as well. Fantastic. Hey, come on, church. Heaven is alive and celebrating when even one comes. And we've got another two over the side here as well. What an incredible decision to say, Jesus, I can't do this life alone. I see your hand as well. What an incredible decision. That we say the things I've been pursuing, the things I've been stressing about, the things that have brought so much worry into my life mean nothing if I don't have you. I see that hand there. Jesus, come into my life. Set me on the path that leads to the everlasting life you promise. And help me to influence the world around me as I head towards that. What an incredible thing to declare this morning. Jesus, I'm pursuing you. Lord God, the desire of my heart is you. Before I pray, is there anybody else? Church, why don't we say this prayer together? Those that like raise their hands, say this with everything that's in your heart. Lord God, forgive me of my sins. I know I've messed up. But thank you that Jesus died to forgive me of those sins. I acknowledge that you are Lord and you are God. Please come into my heart. I want to be born again and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, why don't we put our hands together, celebrate those incredible decisions this morning. Hey, if you did make that decision this morning, there's a few tips we want to encourage you to follow. Firstly, go and visit the hub up the back. We've got a gift for you. If you're a first timer here, we've got those newbie bags. Is that what we called them, Liam? Newbie bags for you. But we've also got some resources for you to help you start your journey with Jesus. We've got a little Bible there for you and a few other things that we're going to put in your hand. The second thing is keep coming to church. This bunch of people around you, Whether they look a bit odd or not, I'm here to encourage you, to support you, to uplift you, to help you run this race that we're running. We've got an incredible family of brothers, sisters, and a couple of weird uncles, but we all love you and we all want to see you succeed in this life. So make sure you keep coming along to church, and don't come alone. Bring your friends, bring your family, get them in this place and encounter all the things that God has for you. Thirdly, if you want to get connected in some way, there's a crazy little Cody looking thing on the back of your chairs. You can take a photo of that, scan it with your camera. It's going to take you through to a link tree where you can get on board and you can find yourself a connect group. You can find yourself a serve team. You can find yourself any number of incredible things on that link tree. Link trees. See how I use the word that you say? Yeah. That's technology, people. Technology. Hey, I'm a bit excited. How about we jump to our feet? Why don't we go out of this place this morning celebrating the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and hey, find someone to invite to church next week. Grab an invite card from over at the hub and put it in someone's hot little hand. Let's worship Jesus. Have a good day.
Come on, sing Tears of Joy with me this morning. There's a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I've got this joy.